1 Samuel chapter 1, verses 21 to 28, and Luke chapter 2, verses 21 to 24. And the Pew Bible, pages 234 and 889. First reading from 1 Samuel chapter 1, starting in verse 21. The man Elkanah and all his household went up to offer to the Lord the yearly sacrifice and to pay his vow. But Hannah did not go up, for she said to her husband, "As soon as the child is weaned, I will bring him, that he may appear in the presence of the Lord and remain there forever. I will offer him as a Nazarite for all time." Her husband Elkanah said to her, "Do what seems best to you. Wait until you have weaned him. Only may the Lord establish his word." So the woman remained and nursed her son until she weaned him. When she had weaned him, she took him up with her along with a 3-year-old bull, an ephah of flour, and a skin of wine. She brought him to the house of the Lord at Shiloh, and the child was young. Then they slaughtered the bull, and they brought the child to Eli. And she said, "O my Lord, as you live, my Lord, I am the woman who was standing here in your presence, praying to the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord has granted me the petition that I made to him. Therefore I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he is given to the Lord." And she left him there for the Lord. And in Luke chapter 2, a story that we generally read at Christmas. But Luke chapter 2, verses 21 through 24. After 8 days had passed, it was time to circumcise the child, and he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. When the time came for their purification, according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male shall be designated as holy to the Lord. And they offered a sacrifice according to what is stated in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. As we have gathered here today and celebrated earlier, with and through the baby dedication service. By the way, this sermon was written the first week of April, so it has sat around and stewed for a while. But it still holds true today. We have these fuzzy feelings, don't we? Warm feelings because of this baby and because of the dedication that we have had for her. After all, here is a new child and a newly blessed family with this child. And I do not want in any way, shape, or form to take away from this or from our child dedication this morning. But instead, I want us to reflect on what new children bring to us all. Not just the parents, but bring to us all. New opportunities. New opportunities throughout life to help, to teach, to grow together with the child and with the family that has been presented here today. The first reading comes from 1 Samuel, and you might recognize that that story is about Samuel's mother, Hannah, and her dedication, her commitment to God for the birth of a child, one known as Samuel. And we know that earlier she had made a promise to God that if God would allow her to conceive a son and bear that child, that she would commit that child, she would dedicate that child to God's service. If only she could have that son. We read a few moments ago about what happened after that child was born, about Hannah and her dedication to God, and about Hannah's commitment and her recognition that that commitment needed to be carried through. She needed to make good on her promise that Samuel would be raised in dedication to God. She had an opportunity to keep Samuel. I'm sure her husband, Elkanah, was not terribly thrilled at the idea of giving this young child over to be raised outside of their family, outside of their home. But she had made a promise. A promise that would afford her son an opportunity to really come to know God. And so Hannah had a choice to make. Do I keep this child for myself, or do I follow through and dedicate him to God? And we know she took him, she made sacrifices to God, and then she left her son there to be raised by Eli, the priest. A story of commitment. A story of new life and a new child, and a story of opportunity. The story of the gospel of Jesus begins with a baby born to a couple unlikely to have a child at the point that they came together. The baby Jesus was a sign of God's grace and God's presence. And the baby Jesus is a blessing to them, although probably early on, they weren't all that sure. If you think about the circumstances, and you think about the society, and you think about what perhaps even their families had to say. But this baby, as George Buttrick states, helps us to remember that every baby is a sign of God with us in the flesh. Every baby is a sign of God with us in the flesh. God came in the flesh in the form of a baby. He just didn't suddenly, poof, walk out of the desert at 30 years old. But He came as a young child. Buttrick continues with some all too familiar words for many of us, and I quote, "One of the greatest burdens of life is to be the parent of a child. Perhaps no blessing has greater burden than the gift of children." End of quote. Why? Because there are so many opportunities. So many opportunities for things to go right, and so many opportunities for things to go wrong. And it takes more than just parents to raise a child properly. It takes, to quote a former First Lady, it takes a whole village and then some to properly raise that child. But you know, it takes even more than that. It takes a dedication by family and friends to work together, not in opposition. And it takes a strong faith. To raise a child properly takes a strong faith in the good that God wishes for us to share. Because God doesn't wish ill. God wishes good. So what opportunities do we find with new children? The sign out front up on the hill says, "New children, new opportunities." One important task is the naming of the child. In some cultures, the naming is early, and in some, it is held later. In many African religions, the child is not named for several days to make sure that it's actually a human and not a ghost or a spirit. In Sikhism, that religion in which the current governor of South Carolina was raised, and the Sikh Society of South Carolina is between Peak and Ballantyne in South Carolina. They're building a brand new Gurdwara, by the way. That's just kind of off to the side. No extra charge for that. That's the community and religious center. In Sikhism, the child's name must begin with the first letter of the first word in the first hymn that is read at the naming ceremony. we did that today, Avery's name would have had it started with an S. Because the first hymn we sang was Surely the Presence. It was an important time, this naming. Avery was named even before her birth. And I understand that her big sister helped to pick out her name. An important event, not just for Avery, but for the family as a whole, as they came together. Mary and Joseph followed their religious custom by naming Jesus at His circumcision on the eighth day. Luke tells us that this was done according to the law, because in Leviticus, you do not do that until that time of purification for the mother. Religious custom was very, very important, even in naming the child. The birth of Jesus was and is filled with mystery and wonder. Even with all of our modern day technology, births are still filled with mystery and wonder, are they not? The arrival of new life when the mother and baby are both at risk. The very fact of the creation of this child are both wondrous events. The naming of a child was seen as one way of thanking God for the gift of new life as well. And I don't know if you paid attention or not. I don't know what was in the minds of the parents and the big sister in naming Avery, but her middle name is Hope. Hope. Hope for her, hope for the family, hope in thanking God, perhaps. Joseph and Mary wanted to link Jesus' life with all of the rich heritage of Israel, and the name had significant meaning. His Hebrew name would have been Joshua, from Yehoshua, which means Yahweh is salvation. The naming of a child can be very important. For example, my youngest brother is named Philip. Among the primary meanings for Philip is lover of horses. He used to draw horses all the time as a young child, and he now has 3 horses at his home. In fact, Phil, sometimes when he kind of gets in one of his spells, has been known in the middle of the night to simply go out into the pasture and climb aboard one of the horses and go to sleep lying on the horse's back. Interesting. Maybe weird too, but interesting. Another important opportunity occurred shortly after Jesus' circumcision, and when Samuel was weaned. In both of these instances, the parents took the baby to the temple, in Jesus' case, to the local shrine of worship, in Samuel's case. Jesus was 40 days old, according to the law and the religious customs, and sacrifices needed to be made for Mary, as well as for the redemption of the firstborn, once again, according to the law in Leviticus. For the Jews, life resided in the blood, and the loss of blood was seen as loss of life, and that needed to be redeemed. According to the law, a woman was unclean due to that loss of life at childbirth, that loss of blood, and had to make sacrifices for her purification. Sacrifices which also expressed thanksgiving to God. Thanksgiving for new life, where life could have been lost. The rite of redeeming the firstborn was a ceremony acknowledging that the firstborn, but I would say all those born, belong to God. The offering was in lieu of sacrificing the firstborn, as some cultures did. These rites were ways to remind the parents that the child is a gift from God, and to acknowledge this through their actions. It's not just a reminder, that this child is a gift of God. This dedication is our way of acknowledging the fact that we recognize that. We get it. And it's important to us. Stoics taught that children were merely loaned to their parents by God. And many of us acknowledge this, do we not? Because there comes a point in time where, as much as we would like to live their lives for them so that they avoid the mistakes that sometimes we made, we have to let them eventually make those decisions themselves. For them to be whole. For them to truly live out their lives. And while we would like to stop with these nice, neat scenes and the celebration in the heart and the hearts today, we need also to remember another of the opportunities that we have when new children come our way. For you see, if we continue to read in this story in Luke chapter 2, we would find an old man who was a priest, Simeon, who comes in and offers praise and thanks to God for this child in particular, Jesus. Words filled with hope and expectation. And he wasn't even the parent. But new life and birth is only the beginning of our responsibilities and of our opportunities. The blessing of that new life is balanced by the burden of raising, of nurturing, of teaching children who are filled with hope and opportunity. In Jesus' birth and his subsequent life, the gift of God wasn't just for Joseph and Mary or even for Israel alone. The gift of God was for all people to share. God gives the gift of a new child, but as Buttrick states, it is, quote, a gift of life meant for all people. Children are not the sole property of their parents. They are gifts to be received. As they are received, thanksgiving for them is to be offered to God, and then the process of parenting begins, which is a process of giving the child away. Parenting is the process of giving the child away. It is a process not of holding on, but one of letting go. A dynamic process of learning when to hold and when to let go in order to teach a child the direction in which they should go and in which they should grow. End of quote. This is a delicate and often difficult process, is it not? A process which involves family, friends, the family of faith, and many others. It is a process not only for new infants like Avery, but for all of those children who pass through our lives, even our Wednesday night crowd. We have, as Christians and as a church, grand opportunities around us to nurture children toward dependence on God and God's grace. Hannah and Joseph and Mary were sensitive to those new opportunities and to those responsibilities, even though it cost them dearly. Hannah gave up her son. Mary gave up her son. May we also be sensitive to the needs of children, not just Avery, but all children who come our way, discerning how to guide them into the ways that they, and quite frankly, that we should go. Leading forth by example in the temple of God for us, the church. And as the people of God, filled with thanksgiving, the people of God that fill our children with a sense of hope, the people of God who nurture them as they grow, who set examples of Christian living so that they too may have the hope in Christ as they come to find Him through faith. New children, not just in new birth, but in every opportunity we have to share. New responsibilities? Yes. But responsibilities that only we can do with God's help. Would you join me in prayer? Our gracious God, we do thank You for new life. New life in physical birth, but also new life in spiritual birth. We pray that You would help us to be more sensitive to the needs of those around us, especially those children who are in need of a loving touch, a kind word, a listening ear, a right example. And along with our sensitivity, may we truly find the opportunity to help nurture them into hope and love with You. It's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen. Our closing hymn, our hymn of commitment, is hymn number 719, Children of the Heavenly Father. As we sing, our altar is open for any decision that you might make. Hymn number 719, Children of the Heavenly Father.